Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, and our text for this evening is the verse 16. Verse 16, we get the connection there. If we look at verse 14, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, the birth of John the Baptist, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And then the angel said to Zacharias, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. That's our text for tonight. Many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. Last Sabbath evening, we considered John the man. I set out for us there in the verse 15. He would be great, but notice, great in the sight of the Lord. Not great in the eyes of the world, but great in the sight of the Lord. We pointed out that it was no coincidence that the next clause, or the next phrase, reads, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. Many a great man, as far as the world is concerned, has taken to the strong drink, and they're no longer great. The wine and the strong drink has ruined them and destroyed them. So he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled. Instead of being filled with strong drink, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Instead of being under the control of strong drink, he was instead under the control of the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And being a man who was filled with the Holy Ghost, we read next, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord. So we saw John the man. Tonight I want to look at John and his ministry, but particular, John the soul winner. Here is the soul winner. It is in verse 16, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. In the first letter to the church at Corinth, the Apostle Paul wrote these words, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. 1 Corinthians 15 and 10. When you go home, look over those words again. Read them again regarding the grace of God in Paul's life. Because if those words were true of Paul, they were most certainly true of John the Baptist. Because all that John was, and all that he did, and all that he accomplished, was because of the grace of God in his life. It was because of the grace of God that John was set apart to be, as Isaiah tells us, chapter 40, verse 3, to be a voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. It was because of the grace of God in John's life that he declared, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. John, of course, was the messenger. John, of course, was the voice crying in the wilderness, Also, it was because of the grace of God that Zacharias was told that in his old age, his prayer was heard and that Elizabeth would bear a son and would be called And it was grace that filled John with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And that angel Gabriel revealed to Zacharias details about John's ministry that would come to pass. We see grace shining through what the angel said in relation to John. For the angel spoke about what John shall be. What John shall be. And if you look at that interview which Gabriel had with Zacharias, you will find that the words shall be or be shall, for he shall be, are found five times. He shall be great. He shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. Verse 5. He shall turn many to the Lord their God. Verse 17. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias. Five times he shall be. That's five, the number of grace. And it was grace that would make John what he was and what he shall be. It was grace. So here we see how Paul's words could be John's words. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. And here is John, and the angel Gabriel told Zacharias that by the grace of God, he would be a soul winner. Many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. So how would the grace of God manifest itself in the life and ministry of this man, as promised the angel? Well, we can see first of all that regarding his ministry, he would have a persuasive ministry. A persuasive ministry. Because Gabriel said, many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. So John would minister to the Jews, and under his ministry, he would turn many to the Lord. Now that, of course, does not mean that he did such a thing, that he turned many to the Lord their God by his own strength, his own volition. But it does mean that the Lord used John, the Lord worked through John to turn many from their sin to the one living true God. John was the messenger. John was the voice crying in the wilderness. John would be made a soul winner by the grace of God. And because John was filled with the Holy Ghost, because John was filled with the Holy Ghost, John would lead many souls to Christ, emphasizing our need of the Holy Ghost, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember what Zacharias the prophet said, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts, Zechariah 4 and 6. Not by might, not by the might of man, not by our persuasive powers. No, we will not be able to turn one sinner to Christ using our own powers of persuasion. We will not be able to rescue one soul from going down into the pit by the use of forceful argument. No matter how powerful we are and how good we are at arguing, not one soul will we rescue. No. We need the Holy Spirit to work in us and to work through us, and at the same time in the heart of the sinner we're seeking to win. We could speak with the eloquence of an angel to men and women about the state of their soul, but it would be in vain. It would be in vain without the Holy Spirit's power and the Holy Spirit's working in us and through us and in the person we're witnessing to. That's how important the Holy Spirit is to the Christian. And how needful it is for the child of God to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words or persuasible words, as the word enticing means. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words or persuasible words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now there's the great missionary. There Paul, the great theologian. There's Paul, the great soul winner. And yet Paul makes it clear, it's not by my speech, it's not my preaching, by using enticing or persuasible words, that men were turned to Christ. It was by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And dear Christian, we are bankrupt when it comes to soul winning, without the aid, the assistance, the power, and as we noted this morning, the leading of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God working through us, sometimes in their desire to win a soul for the Lord. Some Christians have a zeal, but it's not according to knowledge. For they engage in a conversation with a person and they try to win them by the use of argument. They try to use arguments, and before long, the argument goes a little further. They not only use arguments, they get into an argument, and nothing is gained. For a brother easily offended is harder to win, Proverbs tells us. And so in arguing with someone about their soul, if we set out to argue with them and the argument ends up offending them, they're harder to win. You want an example of soul winning? Look at John chapter 4. And the Lord Jesus speaking to the woman of Samaria at Jacob's well. There's a perfect example of soul winning. And how the Lord skillfully turned the conversation round from the water that was in the well to her need of the water that she could drink, whereby she would never thirst again. And the Lord won that woman for himself. And he didn't get into an argument with her, but he spoke to her lovingly. And of course, we know from Luke chapter 4 that the Lord said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And the Spirit of the Lord was upon the Savior. And the Spirit of the Lord was upon John. Indeed, he was filled with the Spirit of the Lord. And we are told, "And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God." If we want to see souls turn to Christ, if we want to be soul winners and win the loss for the Savior, let us pray that the Lord would fill us with his Spirit and that he would be pleased then to use us to win souls for Christ. If thou can use anything, Lord, then, Lord, use me. If thou can use anything, Lord, then, Lord, use me. Take my hands, Lord, and my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, and speak through me. If thou can use anything, then, Lord, use me. And we know the Lord can use anything. If thou can use anything, Lord, then, Lord, use me. As well as having a persuasive ministry, the angel promised that John would have a profitable ministry. Gabriel said to John, "Many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God." Yes, the Lord would be pleased to use John to turn many children of Israel to the Lord. And it's all of the Lord. We were in the theological hall. We had to study, and it was in volume 10, remember it well, the writings of John Owen. He was a mighty theologian. And I must confess, I had to read him over many, many times to get it into my head, what he was saying. But John Owen, who was a mighty theologian, said that he envied John Bunyan, the writer of Pilgrim's Progress. He envied John Bunyan because Bunyan was a great soul winner. And he said he would have given up all his learning if he had a ministry like the tinker John Bunyan. Let us pray that the Lord will make us what he wants us to be. Because remember, we are the clay. He's the potter. And let us pray the Lord will make us what he wants us to be. And the Lord was pleased to make John a soul winner. Many of the children of Israel shall return to the Lord their God. Once again, John would only be what God would make him. And we can see from the words of Gabriel that John would be a great winner of souls. Now here's something that's interesting. We look at the words there in verse 16, our text. And many of the children of Israel shall return to the Lord their God. That word turn is the word that is elsewhere translated convert. And that's what conversion is. Whenever a man or a woman is converted, what does that mean? It means that they turn away from their sin. They're now going in a completely different direction. In their unsaved days, in their unsaved ways, they were on the road, the broad road that leads to hell. But when they get converted, they turn right around. And now they're on the straight and the narrow, which leads to heaven and to home. And here we read, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn, or many of the children of Israel shall he see converted. It's the same words. As we have in Acts 3 and verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. John would be used by the Lord to see many souls converted. Used of the Lord to see many souls turn to Christ and away from their sin. The Lord revealed to the Apostle Paul what he wanted him to be. For in Acts 26, there we read in verse 18. Acts 26, 18. Deliver thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. Open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And verse 20. But showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. So in verse 20, we have the word turn. The word means convert. That's what the Lord wanted Paul to be a soul winner. And I believe the Lord wants us all to be soul winners. As we pass through this life, are we going to pass through this life without speaking a word for the Savior? Without speaking to someone about their soul? Remember a man who was saved just a short time after I was. As a result, we became good friends. And he had a particular friend that either lived near him or certainly was familiar with this individual. And he learned one day that this individual had died suddenly. And my friend was heartbroken. Because he said to me, he says, you know, all the time I knew that person, I never talked to them about the Lord. I never told them about Christ. He let the opportunity pass him by. And he never spoke to that person about the Savior. And as far as he knows, that person died without Christ. When the Savior called his first disciples, he did so with words. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. I will make you to become. That's in keeping with what we're saying. The Lord is the one who makes soul winners. The Lord is the one who makes men and women winners of souls. The Lord is the one who makes fishers of men. He does the making. Let us pray the Lord will make us fishers of men, make us soul winners. For many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. The Lord would make John a soul winner, a fisher of men. He would do the making. Yes, we can go through our seminaries and our theological halls. We can sit under the best lecturers and theologians and professors. But that will not make us soul winners. It's the Lord does the making. And we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost to be soul winners. That's what the Lord is on. A fisher of men, a winner of souls. And since we are the Lord's disciples, have you ever asked the Lord, Lord, make me a soul winner. Make me a fisher of men. For when we think of it, we ought to have a burden for souls. John had a burden for souls. Paul had a burden for souls. If we have a burden for souls, the Lord will make us soul winners. I said Paul had a burden for souls. Romans chapter 9, verse 1. Paul says, I say the truth in Christ. So here's Paul, he wasn't being flippant. These were not empty words. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in heart. For I could wish that myself were cursed from Christ for my brethren and my kinsmen according to the flesh. You need to think twice before you utter words like that. But here's Paul says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, separated from Christ. For my brethren and my kinsmen according to the flesh. In other words, Paul was saying here, I would be prepared to be separated from Christ forever if it meant my brethren and my kinsmen, my relatives, if they were saved. Of course, Paul would never be separated from Christ. But that's how he felt. That's how he put it into words, how heavy his burden was. He put his burden into words. He said, I would rather be accursed from Christ for my brethren and my kinsmen according to the flesh. Paul had a burden for souls. Moses had a burden for souls. You recall what Israel did in his absence. And when Joshua came down the mount, Joshua said there is a noise of war in the camp. He could hear the people singing and dancing. They had made themselves the golden calf, and they were worshipping the golden calf. And God threatened to wipe them all out. Listen to what Moses said. Oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, this is Moses praying, yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, he's pleading with the Lord to forgive their sin. And if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written. Exodus 32, verses 31 and 32. Moses was really praying the same thing that Paul prayed. Paul was saying, I wish that I could be a curse from Christ for my brethren and kinsmen according to the flesh. And Moses is saying, Lord, forgive their sin, forgive their idolatry. But if not, if Lord, if thou wilt not forgive them, then blot me out of the book of life. Erase my name from the book of life. That was the burden that Paul had, the burden that Moses had. And John had a burden. And Christ had a burden. How great was the Savior's burden for souls? How great was the Savior's burden for you and me? His burden was so great that he was prepared to die. Greater love is no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. That's how heavy the Savior's burden was. We've seen how heavy Paul's burden was and how heavy the burden of Moses was. And John evidently had a burden, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. What about us? Something for us to examine our hearts about. Have I a burden for souls? Do we care about those souls that are drifting downward, ever downward? Do we care about those souls who are drifting away without a word for them? Leonard Ravenhill, who wrote a great book entitled Why Revival Tarries, he wrote these words of verse. Could a mariner sit idle if he heard the drowning cry? Could a doctor sit in comfort and just let the patient die? Could a fireman sit idle, let men burn and give no hand? Can you sit at ease in Zion with the world around you damned? We do not have such a burden as that. Perhaps the words of Mary Warburton Booth, the wife of General Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army. Would stir us up and lead us to pray that the Lord would give us a burden. She wrote these words. Oh, for a heart that is burdened, infused with a passion to pray. Oh, for a stirring within me. Oh, for his power every day. Oh, for a heart like my Savior, who being in an agony prayed, such caring for others, Lord, give me. On my heart, let burdens be laid. My Father, I long for this passion, to pour myself out for the lost, to lay down my life to save others, to pray. Whatever the cost. Lord, teach me, oh, teach me this secret. I'm hungry, this lesson to learn, this passionate passion for others. For this blessed Jesus I yearn. Father, this lesson I long far from thee. O let thy Spirit reveal this to me. And Mrs. Booth and her husband knew all about soul winning when they founded the Salvation Army. Mrs. Booth mentioned praying for souls. And here is an example of such a prayer. A member in my church in Ulster, there was a man there and he did great work around the doors and he certainly had a burden for souls. And always remembered, practically every prayer meeting, he would recite these words. Oh, for a passionate passion for souls. Oh, for a pity that yearns. Oh, for a love that loves unto death. Oh, for a fire that burns. Oh, for a pure prayer power that prevails, that pours itself for the lost. Victorious prayer in the conqueror's name. Oh, for a Pentecost. Oh, for a passionate passion for souls. Oh, for a pity that yearns. Oh, for a love that loves unto death. Oh, for a fire that burns. A burden for souls John the Baptist certainly had. He was a man of prayer. And as well as a burden for souls, he was also blessed with souls. For the angel Gabriel said to Zacharias, and many of the children of Israel shall return to the Lord their God. So John had seen many converted, turned to the Lord their God. The angel promised that the Lord would give his servant many souls. John would know the joy, soul winner's joy. And over my years of ministry, the Lord has been pleased to bless me with souls. And there's nothing like it. You're preaching on a gospel mission, people stay behind. And you sit with them with the open word. And we go what we call the Roman road through the book of Romans, pointing out all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are none righteous, no, not one. Pointing out him that sin entered in, by one man sin entered into the world. By one man, so all have sinned. And telling about Christ who came into the world, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's nothing like the soul winner's joy. And after you get up of your knees, after leading that individual to Christ, shake their hand. It's good to see them saved. It's good to see them going on with God. It's good to return to that church many years later and see them still going on with God. That's the soul winner's joy. When we see sinners turned to the Lord. And surely the many who would be won to Christ through the ministry of John would be numbered with those mentioned in verse 14. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. And the many spoken of in verse 14, I would venture to say, include the many that are mentioned in verse 16. The many of the children of Israel shall return to the Lord their God. And those that were converted under the ministry of John and had their sins forgiven and came to a saving knowledge of Christ, they would be thanking the Lord for the day that John the Baptist was born. Thanking the Lord for John the Baptist, for sending him in their direction, that they could hear the gospel under his preaching, and that they were turned to the Lord, and they would no doubt thank the Lord for the day that John was born. Yes, the angel told Zacharias, the ministry of his son John, many. Would he turn to the Lord their God? John's life told for the Lord. Will our lives tell for the Lord? Mark that word, many. Gabriel didn't say that all who sat under John's ministry or heard him preach would believe and be converted. He didn't say all, he said many. The same word is used to describe the Savior's ministry. John 8 and verse 30, and he spake these words, many believed on him. It didn't say all believed on him. Even though Christ was the greatest preacher ever, never man spake like this man, but not all believed. Many. John 10, verse 42, and many believed on him there. John 12, 42, nevertheless among the chief rulers also, many believed. In other words, when seeking to win souls for the Lord, we are not guaranteed 100% success. But surely if we could win one soul, one soul, be worth it. Remember the story told about the sower? And the sower went out to sow. And you notice in that parable that only 25% of the seed fell on good ground. And so in the sowing of the good seed of the gospel, there's nothing wrong with the seed, nothing wrong with the seed at all. But some fell by the wayside, some fell on stony ground, and some fell where the weeds choked the growth. And some fell on good ground and brought forth fruit. Just 25%. So we're not guaranteed 100% success. But think of it. If you were used by the Lord to win one soul to Christ, wouldn't you say it's worth it all? We sang Rutherford's hymn there, written by Anne Ross Cousin, but still known as Rutherford's hymn. One of the verses that we don't have in our hymnal reads as follows. Fair Anne Worth by the Solway. Anne Worth was where Rutherford preached. Then he was sent in exile to Aberdeen, sent away from his church by the government. And he kept thinking about Anne Worth, his pulpit there. Fair Anne Worth by the Solway, to me thou still art dear. Even from the verge of heaven, I drop for thee a tear. Oh, if one soul from Anne Worth meet me at God's right hand, then my heaven will be two heavens in Emmanuel's land. Rutherford saw many more than one soul saved. But you can see the burden he had for souls. Oh, of one soul, just one soul from Anne Worth, were to meet me at God's right hand, then my heaven would be two heavens in Emmanuel's land. Just to be used to win one soul for the Master would make heaven two heavens for us also. To be there and to meet with someone we led to Christ will make our heaven two heavens. His was a profitable ministry, a persuasive ministry. In the last place, and quickly, a promotional ministry. One thing that John did not do, he did not promote himself. John 3 and verse 30, he must increase, but I must decrease. For the one whom John would always seek to promote was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of men. Indeed, how else would John see the words of verse 16 fulfilled, leading many souls, turning many to the Lord their God? He was a man filled with the Holy Ghost. Let me show you something about the Holy Ghost. You turn to John 15. John's Gospel, chapter 15. And there we read in verse 26, John 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, That's the Holy Spirit, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father. Mark the words. He shall testify of himself. No. The Spirit of the Lord will not testify of himself. The Spirit of the Lord will not exalt himself. The Spirit of the Lord will testify of me, the Lord said. So the man and the woman who's filled with the Holy Ghost will be the one who will promote Christ. Verse 13 of the next chapter, John 16. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. The Spirit of the Lord will glorify me. That's what the Savior says. He shall not testify of himself or speak of himself. He shall testify of me, and he will speak of me and glorify me. Now you put the two together. The person who's filled with the Holy Ghost will promote Jesus Christ. Every time. Every time. John was filled with the Holy Ghost. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. John was a soul winner because he was a man who was filled with the Holy Ghost. Because he was a man who had a burden for souls. Because he was a man who preached Christ. You look at John chapter 1. And with this I'll close. In John chapter 1, we read about John, and he's speaking about the Lord Jesus. In verse 27, he says, "It is he," or "he it is, who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose." Verse 29, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God." Down to verse 35. "Again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he says, Behold the Lamb of God." That's a man full of the Holy Ghost. He didn't promote himself. He promoted Christ. Notice, one day, he cried, "Behold the Lamb of God." Then it says, the next day, he cried, "Behold the Lamb of God." In other words, John's message was the same every day. He preached Christ. And as a result of preaching Christ and living for Christ and exalting Christ and promoting Christ, he turned many from their sinful and wicked ways and saw them converted to embrace the Lord their God. May the Lord make us soul winners. May the Lord make us fishers of men. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O dear Lord and loving Father, we bless thee for the word. Thank thee, Lord, for men like John, soul winners, men full of the man of Christ. Man who said, "Behold the Lamb of God." O Lord God, I pray that we as believers will ever seek to promote Christ. will ever seek to exalt him. And if we're filled with the Holy Ghost, that's what will happen. But the Holy Spirit does not speak of himself, because he shall glorify Christ. Lord, write this word upon our hearts. May we not just hear it, Lord, and as it were dismiss it. But Lord, take it to heart. And O Lord, endeavor to live it out in our lives. And may when we reach glory, may there be those there whom we had the joy of leading to Christ. Lord, be with us now, apart one from the other. Keep us safe on the roads. Keep thy hand upon us, Lord, throughout this week. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.